Wow, don't you want to just feel like this majority of the time? Kind of blitzed out of your mind with wonderful pianist and the feeling of meditation and knowing that you've truly connected in some way, shape, or form with God. I mean, we truly connected with the God through Elizabeth as she plays. We connected with God as we went into the silence. Well, that's what today is all about as we continue with our series about Lent. And we're following the book of Keep a True Lent. And as our favorite youth and family minister director said earlier, if you have the Be Ye Transformed, they also follow Keep a True Lent. And so today's talk is about living the Sabbath. Living the Sabbath. So what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath actually in Hebrew just means rest. Just means rest. Something that I think most of us don't do a lot of anymore. Actually, the Sabbath is a spiritual, a day where you have and allow God to have its free will with you as you make a connection with God. Now, the Sabbath happens on a multitude of days. Actually, according to Charles Fillmore, it can happen any day when you find yourself connecting with God, that true connection, not just that touch and you're off into your daily world, but a real connection with God. And actually, they say it should be a day where you forget about all of your obligations, your worldly obligations, and you open yourself up in some way, shape, or form just to be connected, whether it's reading or praying. It's a form of prayer. A lot of people say that Sabbath is just a form of rest. No, it's more than just resting, lying in bed, and looking at the TV. No, it's actually an activity. It isn't being idle. It is actually moving into the action of wanting to go deeper, to purge and to widen and to rise and go higher. It's an aspect of actively meeting God and trying to learn more about God. Why? So that you can know the truth of yourself as the true individualized expression of God, each and every one of us. No matter what we've done, no matter who we are the individualized expression of God's infinite good. And one of the ways that we can do this is to go into a time where we release and let go and let God be God in our lives and as our life. So actually, in the Bible, and for the Jewish people and some Christians, Sabbath happens on Saturday, and that is what the Bible says. Sabbath happens on Saturday where we release, we let go, and a lot of the Christian faiths that you hear about that are all day in the church, that's what they're doing. They are celebrating their Sabbath. Most other Christian religions celebrate it now on Sundays, where we go to church and where we use church as a starting point of the getting to know, getting to be there. But this isn't really a true Sabbath because you're here, you're outside of yourself, and you're listening to me give you instructions about how to be and how to interact in Sabbath. And that's my job. It's the starting point. But my job is to give you the tools so that you can go forward and do something on your own, which is to realize your connection with God. To realize that the connection is always there, ready for you. And one of the only ways you can do this is to move into Sabbath. And then on Monday, I am told, and this is the first time I read this, is that in a lot of Muslim faiths, the Sabbath is on Monday. But Charles Fillmore says, you know, Sabbath happens when you truly, with an open heart, sit down and want to learn more, not just about your connection, but about you as the Christ, as you, as the individualized expression of God, because we preach and we teach here. If God is everywhere present, God is innately everywhere in every part of you. We have these thoughts of who and what God is. Look in the mirror. One of my favorite pictures in the Hall of Christ is the one with the veil over it, and you open it as the mirror. Who is Christ? You are. And that's what we're here to do, is to remember, thanks to the teachings of Jesus, the truth of ourselves. Because those are the Jesus teachings. That's what Jesus was teaching his disciples. And he told his disciples to teach everyone so that we can rise. So that we move beyond the chrysalis, as Jane was talking about, leave our bodies and the humanness behind us and embrace the truth of ourselves that we have more, we are more. But you know, in this world, I find the older I get, the more in this world, and I used to think it was just Western, it's Eastern, it's all over the place. Things are going faster and faster, and we have to do more and more because we think to rest is just idleness. Especially here in the Western world, and where it's money and capitalism, you know, if you don't do something with the time you have, you're wasting money because you can't make money. And more and more, even on the weekends when we're supposed to be resting, we're just filling time with something else to do. More and more, all we do is fill time so that we aren't idle, so that we're not resting, and so that we continue to build walls to block out the truth of who we are, to continue to build walls so that we're not hearing and having the connection that is innately with us, with God. Sabbath is that part within even our creation that allows us to just be still and let God take over. In Genesis, there's two, chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's two Genesis stories. I've said this before. The first Genesis story we are taught in Unity is that it is the consciousness of God creating its vision of the possibilities of what earth would be. And we find that with each and every time that God has completed his vision, what does he say? It's good. It's always good. And at the very end of the 6 days of creation, God stops. And what does it say that God does? Rest. We learn from that that isn't just the creative cycle for God. For in actuality, we know that God doesn't rest. God is constantly in a creative cycle. God is constantly, infinitely moving forward, creating and allowing and speaking to us as to ways that we create. But we create in that way. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the imagination and how we utilize our imagination to create visions in our mind, hopefully great visions, of great possibilities of what can happen. We have these wonderful pictures in our mind of the way we want our life or a particular process in our life or a particular thing in our life to outpicture. And then what we are taught then is to claim it good. And a lot of times we don't claim it good. A lot of times the visions in our head are of Monday. Oh my God, Monday. Or what I have to go home to today, which might not be pleasant. And we picture this in our minds and then we walk into what we have created. No. Those might be facts, a little F. But the truth, capital T, meaning the spiritual truth, is that you can have a better picture. And so you use your imagination to outpicture this great world that you are choosing to create, and then you rest. Allow it to resonate. And you allow yourself to go deeper, to connect with God, to learn more spiritual truths. And in this time, I also say to listen to God as God continues to direct you in your creation of this greatness. The Sabbath is the time to be with God. The moment of stillness is not idleness. The moment of stillness is real creativity. Eugene Peterson wrote this: if you don't take a Sabbath, something is wrong. You're doing too much. You're being too much in charge. You've got to quit one day a week and just watch what God is doing when you're not doing anything. You got to stop doing when you're not doing anything and watch God do. You know, that is a part of the hamster wheel that we continue to find ourselves in. We think we have to do it, we have to create, we have to continue to move. And how much do we really appreciate the blessings in our lives as we move until we break down and we're forced to stop for some reason? And not only are we praying for help, but then we're forced to sit, be still, and know God. But we don't have to get to that point. All we have to do is just willingly stop, breathe, go to the ocean, go wherever you are, look out the window, and look at God's beauty and blessings. Even better yet, choose to have a deeper and better connection with God. Now, we don't talk about it much here, but, you know, grab the Bible. I know we've been tortured by the Bible and other religions. Actually, the Bible is quite sizzling. It has murder. It has sex. It's really quite the happening book. Most importantly, it has the ways to get out of this confusion that we find our way in. It has answers and ways of which that if we follow, that we can go deeper and we can have more. That's why Unity chooses to really hone in on the Gospels, because, and that's why the Fillmores loved Jesus so much. We don't view Jesus as just the embodiment of God, because we see everyone as the embodiment of God. But we call Jesus our brother, our teacher, our master teacher, because in the Gospels, he step by step shows us how we can continue to dive deeper and to open ourselves to be more, to be the truth of ourselves. Grab a holy scripture if it isn't the Bible. Delve into it. You know, too many times I believe that we go to sleep and we wake up to the news. I invite you not to do that. That is a poor, poor way to leave your consciousness, to go to sleep after the 10 or 11 o'clock news. To go in thinking about the deaths and the darkness of the world. Isn't it better to go to sleep after having read a wonderful movie, spiritual movie, listening to some spiritual movie music, taking Elizabeth home with you and having her tickle the ivory, reading a book, reading Rumi, reading anything that can bring stillness into your mind and allow you at that time to go into the Sabbath. To go into touching that stillness so that you can go to sleep with sweet dreams in your mind. And when you wake up, not to push that control to see what happened overnight in the news. Oh, Lord, who got bombed this time? What did our president do? What did our... Blah, 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 blah. Wow, look at how we wake up with the visions of what bad happened. No, let's wake up with the birds chirping and not telling them to shut up. Shut up! You're chirping too loud. No, listen to their songs. Listen to them sweetly wake you up. If you're like, if your bedroom is like with mine, it has a bunch of trees, and all I hear with the windows open, squirrels going back and forth jumping and the birds singing, and I think it's the sweetest way to wake up. With the sun shining in there, maybe a breeze. Now, obviously, I'm talking about the summertime, which I'm looking for. With a sweet breeze. And just to be there and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, is a Sabbath. knowing that connection, doesn't that feel better when you wake up like that? Now, I have to be honest with you. A lot of times I wake up and kind of twist and turn. But finally, when I choose to wake up, I go, okay. Yeah. Thank you, God. Because I am a blessed woman. I choose to look at the blessings and how the world is bright and how beautiful. I'm thankful for the neighborhood I'm in. I just choose to be in that Sabbath and reconnect, knowingly connect with God. That's all you need for Sabbath. Sabbath can be each and every day. But it's inviting that opening to indulge and to learn more and to knowingly move forward. Now, I don't care what God, what you call God. I don't care what you look at, so long as you feel the presence and invite the presence and continue to consciously celebrate God around you and God with you. Charles Fillmore says the true Sabbath is that state of spiritual attunement where man ceases from all personal efforts, and all beliefs in his own works, and rests it in the consciousness that the Father abiding in me doeth his works, which the Father abiding in me doeth his works is from John 14:10. When we understand the true spirit of the Sabbath, we cease following prescribed rules laid down by a church and open our minds to God's rest and peace. We rest from outer work, cease daily occupation, and give ourselves up to meditation or to study of all things spiritual. And I read this right now from Charles Fillmore because I find it interesting that, and did most of you know that Jesus, the fact that he did not abide the law of the Sabbath, that's what got him in trouble? Oh, Jesus, that rebel. Do you believe that Jesus had the nerve on a Saturday in Jerusalem to go to the pool of Bethesda, see a man, an ill man, in the Bible they call him, they said he was lame, but it just says he's ill, that he had the nerve to walk by this man who had been there for 38 years, by the way. He was at this pool of Bethesda that was a popular place for healing. And it says when the waters were still, when they were moving, when they were active, it was presumed active with spirit. How it was active, don't know. Don't know if it was the weather and they called it active. Don't know if it was the Holy Spirit coming down, stilling the water. Not really sure, the Bible doesn't say, but at this point in time, when the water had this activity, this stilling, this movement, you're supposed to get in there. You're supposed to allow the waters to purify you, to heal you. Well, this man who laid on his mat could never make it in there. He would say that as soon as the water stilled, everyone else would beat him to it. He would get off of his mat, and by the time he got there, everyone had rushed in front of him, and the water was no longer still. No longer had the movement, the purification, the healing. For 38 years, chronic ailment, 38 years, he sat on his mat. Now, truth be told, he sat on his mat in this victimhood mentality because no one would help him. And he kept feeling and seeing that he was just there and he couldn't do anything else except sit there and not be healed. Well, Jesus saw him laying there. He knew he had been there for a long time. And Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man said, "What I just said, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Wow. Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat." And at once the man was made well, and he took his mat and began to walk. He was instantly healed just by the faith and the sheer mention. But one of the things that we don't talk about much with this particular thing is that he didn't know who just healed him. It's just some man who said, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." And he felt the stirring within him, and he got up. Well, it was Sabbath and illegal. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." I chuckle too. Here's a man who's been ill for 38 years. He just got healed. He picked up his mat and walked. And the legalistic aspect of religion said, "We don't care that you're healed. Don't work." Now, this was really something that he could have been punished for. I mean, this was against the laws. And I would have been scared too. They said, "Who was this man who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" And he said, "Well, the man who was just healed." Well, I can imagine he, because it's against the law, so I can imagine he stuttered a little bit. "The man who maybe well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And he just walked away. He didn't know who the man was because he was so fast he went into the crowd. But the interesting part of this is that he was healed. And that's all you need to grasp of this situation. Is that what's also crazy about this story is that we already know that God is everywhere present. And we learn that God, Jesus says it, God doeth the work. Jesus never took hold of the pride, "Yeah, I do the miracles. I am the man, I am your miracle man." No. He always said, "God does the work. Thank you, God." So if God is pouring in him, and he's using his body as a conduit, on the day where we're supposed to be connected to God, then he isn't breaking the law because it was God who made the man healed. Jesus just was the conduit who allowed God to use him to say the words to make this happen. So don't be so tied up into, "I need to do it on this day or that day." Just open yourself to God. Open yourself up to the connection. And whatever that connection is made for, however long it is, that is the true Sabbath. Charles Fillmore continues saying, "It is during this period of rest known as the Sabbath that the demonstration came forth, the state of consciousness in which the man that was sick let go of all false appearances and took up his bed and walked. It is time for us now to release all false appearances. Whatever elements we are holding on to, whatever reasons why, for however long we have been sitting at the pool of Bethesda, that we have to stop and pick up our mats and walk. It is time for us to just have the faith that whatever we think is holding us back, wherever part of the victimness that we have allowed to go into our minds and our bodies, to release and let it go. Pick up our mats and walk. Time to get out of our erroneous thinking and move forward." Eugene Peterson said something else that I love. "If you keep the Sabbath, you start to see creation not as somewhere to get away from your ordinary life, but a place to frame an attentiveness to your life." Let me read that one more time. "If you keep the Sabbath, you start to see creation not as somewhere to get away from your ordinary life, but a place to frame an attentiveness to your life." It is time for us to see our lives as beautiful, to be attentive to it, to see the places where God is and always be, and embrace that spot. Continue to move forward, to read the books, to look at the movies, to listen to the music, where we can appreciate the spot where God is, all the spots where God is in our life and around us. It's time to move forward and live the Sabbath. And so while we do this, I invite you also, take in your bulletin is an affirmation, and it's from Charles Fillmore, "Keep a True Lent," and it's right up here. And I invite us to read this together. I rest in the consciousness of the true Sabbath, and my heart is filled with joy and satisfaction. Continue to be a part of the true Sabbath and allow your heart and your worlds to be filled with joy and happiness. God bless you. Namaste.